From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this afternoon. Neil wrote assorted topics, and that's probably the best way to describe whatever's over the next hour and a few minutes here with you this afternoon. Hope you're having a lovely Wednesday. Weather's pretty nice outside. A little warm, but good. Good July weather, good July temperature here in the Oxford metropolitan area. As we're here with you, we got a little news out of SEC Media Days. That's not a surprise. Got a baseball player in the transfer portal and whatever else is going on this lovely afternoon. So we'll talk about that more with you on the Oxford Exxon Podcast, the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West, obviously in Oxford. Download the SpeedPass Plus app, take advantage of it, earn points, save money there with the Oxford Exxon. Also get a lunch special every single weekday. $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink, including barbecue, chicken, ribs, and more there in the hot case inside the convenience store. So take advantage of, again, all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is that number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, the rest completely up to you. You can shop it around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters on the Water. It's today, Wednesday. Open at 5 today. Again, Thursday and Friday, and then open all day Saturday and Sunday. Frozen margaritas, frozen daiquiris, great waterfront views there at Rafters on the Water, and you can also go to Rafters on the Square in Oxford and Rafters in New Albany.
So, let's see. Not really breaking news or anything. This is the last time we talked to you yesterday afternoon. I just posted on the board a minute ago. Right-handed pitcher Cody Adcock has entered the transfer portal. Multiple people on Twitter asking me why. I don't know. I have no idea. But he has. So,
probably because he wants to go play somewhere else.
That's potentially a possibility. Yeah, I don't know.
That would be my guess.
I don't think he just slept on the wrong side of the bed or anything last night. But nonetheless, it's a fairly significant thing, given where Ole Miss is from a pitching standpoint going into next season. At this point, they've only added one player. That's John Gaddis, the left-handed pitcher out of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And I do think he'll factor into a role, but had you told me to build a depth chart, to build a lineup and a bullpen for next season, Adcock would have been probably prominently featured in that. He didn't throw a ton. He had 14 appearances last year. He did start against Arkansas in the SEC tournament semifinal there in Hoover. Pitched okay. He gave up two runs, I think, in 4.1 innings, something like that. And he was all right. Fastball into the mid-90s, had some juice. He's developed his other pitches, but I mean, I thought for a first year, Adcock was pretty promising, and I thought that he had a bright college baseball future, and it's not that he won't. It just doesn't appear that it will be at Ole Miss as it moves forward. Between that and Derek Diamond's issues with whatever is or is not with that elbow, I don't have any update there. I know they were going to do some different therapies, do some different rehabs on him, but when you're talking about your potential Friday night starter for next year, any kind of elbow issue is a big deal related to your roster. So, I don't know. It's a blow. Whatever's going on with Adcock, assuming he does end up transferring out. Sometimes these guys lose their scholarship and come back and don't go. But this feels like a gone. This feels like Cody will play somewhere else. So it's a shot to the depth. We'll see what this pitching roster looks like, because it's a weird college baseball profile right now for Ole Miss heading into 2022. I don't know where I would rank them. I don't know what I would do with them, because they have literally everybody back from a offensive standpoint. All of those position players that were potentially draft eligible or were draft eligible but were not drafted, they all announced on Twitter yesterday. Tiomoko, Kevin Graham, Justin Bench. I think the top 10-11 hitters can all be back if they want to be back next season. So offensively, they're going to be really, really good. But what's on the mound? What does that look like? I have absolutely no idea. So you're talking about a top five offense and a lot of question marks. Mike is always gets a lot of benefit of the doubt because he does put a pitching staff together every year. They're always pretty good. They are never even average. They're above average most seasons. You know, frankly, this year they were probably below average, or they're not probably. They were like 10th in the league in runs allowed. But because of Nikhazy obviously doing what he did, because of having Hoagland for majority of the season, it was kind of masked a little bit. So definitely a big deal for Ole Miss as it moves into next season from a pitching standpoint. So we'll monitor. We'll see what's going on. But nonetheless, they were not hurt by the draft any more than they would have been expected to. It went as well as it could have gone because there was no realistic expectation that Jackson Job was going to come to school. So he's going to be a Detroit Tiger unless Detroit really miscalculated his ability to take $5 million here over the next couple weeks.
They didn't.
And I have a hard time doing that. There's like Fangraphs opened up the thing about how if there was a team that could absorb losing that amount of your bonus pool, it was the Tigers because they have compensatory picks. However, you still don't want to lose $7.2 million out of your bonus pool, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. So anyway, I don't know. That's where we're at. So that's your baseball update. I got nothing else. So nonetheless, media days. What? No fans in the building and no autographs. Is that what I saw correctly?
No fans in the building.
Okay.
So no the gumps in the lobby. That's over. There will be an outside area that they can be roped together. So they'll probably put the fans all in one little crammed area, but it'll be outdoors. See, everybody gets mad at me because I poke fun at this, and everyone gets mad. Chase comes in for the record making fun of it too. So I want you to know that going in. They make fun of me, and everybody gets the defensive. People got their feelings hurt in Oxford last week because I was very vocal about organizing, hey, you need to let the superintendent know how you feel. And I got a lot of the leftists in this town really worked up, and I'm glad. I don't mind. I'm not buddies with them anyway. We're on opposite sides. We want different things. I don't care. So – yeah, there's no fans in the thing, which is fine, whatever. They frankly, sometimes they were sort of in the way. But no autographs. And that was always kind of a big thing. There was always kind of a lot of people down there collecting autographs
and stuff. It's a circus, and that was one of the rings to the circus.
And frankly, I think it's one of the things that the league sort of begrudgingly liked.
I get it. No. It was harmless. Like, we can all make fun of it, but it was fine. I mean, it's... Look, SC Media Days in general, when it's running at complete capacity with no pandemic limits or anything else, that's kind of, I'll say this the right way, we make fun of it in a very, like, jokingly stupid way, but no, from a league standpoint, if you're simply in the SEC, it's a big deal and it's a good thing for your league because the fact that, look, I get that we've always told you guys, if you want to go to see Media Days, just apply for credential and you get in, which is probably true.
Yeah.
However.
Not this year, probably.
Yeah, but in a normal year.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it's good for the league for them to be able to go, hey, 1,400 media members came to our thing. I get why they do it. I understand the press and the PR around, especially when you're the SEC and we do nothing all year but beat it over your freaking head that we are number one in the country in football.
Yeah.
It just means more. We're going to show you all our titles. We're going to tell you how we've played in the national championship final every year since 2009, and twice we damn near did it against another one of our teams. Like, we're going to do all that.
And everybody knows exactly when Nick Saban and company are arriving at the Winfrey, and all the TV stations are there, and they show the fans.
It's not some hidden agenda going on here.
They go down, because if they wanted to sneak them in someplace where they could just slip in, there are ways to do that. And they don't. They do it a certain way. But, look, there's the I'm going to be careful how I do this because I don't want to out anybody that I've talked to because I have talked to people around the league and I've talked to some people in the league. And there are people in the media that are just waiting to pounce, that are waiting to criticize if something, quote, goes wrong, end quote. And they wanted to do this. They wanted to have the big event. They want to have – they're somewhat limited on what they can do because of the Is it a Hyatt Regency? Is what the Winfrey is now? So there's some Hyatt.
Right. Yeah.
There are some Hyatt rules that supersede Alabama rules.
Hyatt rules and just Birmingham Jefferson County rules.
Yeah, and sure. So they're having to follow some rules, so they can't just pack some of the rooms. And they are having to distance things. And they did ask reporters, "Hey, what days are you going to be here so we can sort of plan?" Like I'm not going to be there on Thursday, for example. So that opens.
They want to limit. Yeah.
They don't want to, but they have to. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So that's their thing. It's going to be a topic. It's a big topic today in the Big 12. I mean, Bob Bowlesby got up on his...
What did he do today?
Well, the Big 12 Media Days, and he talked about vaccinations and what was going to happen if people weren't vaccinated and all of that. It's going to be a big topic for Sankey. I think it's a complicated topic in the SEC office, like it is in most places. But I do know they're telling teams, you know, if your guys aren't vaccinated, they're going to get tested. And if they test positive and we do all the contact tracing and you can't play a game, I think this year it's a forfeit. They're not going to reschedule games.
A forfeit?
I think it's a
– not even a no contest.
I think it's a forfeit. You lose. Yet there are coaches, I think including the one in Oxford, who are not 100% comfortable with – well, you can't mandate it, and I don't know that they really are comfortable requiring it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pain in the ass for players who aren't, and so most are.
Yeah, they've incentivized doing it.
Yeah,
with what you have to go through on a daily basis. Yes,
they've incentivized it, and I think most guys are. But I don't get the impression from talking to people, and this will be a major story on Monday. I don't get the impression that there are too many teams that are over. I think the threshold is 85% to stop testing.
I think that's right, yes.
And I don't think there are many teams at all who are over that threshold.
That's a large threshold.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a significant number who are...
I mean, that's requiring 9 out of 10.
I hate to say this on here because I'll say that I'm upfront that I could be wrong, that I could have misheard something.
Sure.
But I think it was the majority are somewhere between 50 and 60% vaccinated, which is a pretty steep climb to get to 85.
That's a tough number. I mean, just doing math, that's essentially one player is 1%-ish.
I suspect coaches, someone asked, is Lane Kiffin vaccinated? I suspect coaches are going to be asked that, and I think most of them will either answer in the affirmative or they will answer in a, it's none of your business. Which people will read into and go, well, so it must mean you're not.
But that's not the
answer. Although I would tell you that if I'm asked in a public setting, I'll say it's none of your business, even though I am. Because I don't think it's anybody's business unless I want it to be your business, if that makes any sense.
What do you think Sankey's answering this year outside of pandemic questions?
Playoffs, TV, expansion. The Big 12
expansion still in.
Yeah, the Big 12 grant of rights expires in about 3 years now. There's no sign it's going to be renewed. A lot of rumblings out there that Texas, Oklahoma, kind of searching, getting their dating profile set, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of searching for a new home, maybe. Certainly exploring it. So I think that's a topic that comes up as the money changes. I think you're going to hear a lot about streaming, a lot about how do you get fans back into stadiums. That's one of the things. I mean, the people like Dennis Dodds out there today about guardrails and stuff, the schools and the leagues do not want to even think about going down this path of limiting attendance.
Two reasons. They already have a problem.
Two reasons. Number one, they want the money. And number two, they don't need people having 2 years out of the stadium. You'll never get them back.
I'm not sure you're getting back.
I know. I think that's going to be a topic. How do you incentivize getting people to come to stadiums when the game is on in vivid, clear color on your big – I mean, have you ever gone in some of these stores and looked at the screens?
Yeah.
They're amazing. All the games are on television. And the games that are produced like at the CBS/ESPN level, the production value is amazing. Like some of the shots from the All-Star game last night, incredible. It's hard to compete against unless you make the games an event.
Which is much easier said than done. It's hard. Because what does that really mean? So much of that means win at a really freaking high level.
Yeah.
That's the only way to truly make it an event. You know what I mean? Like, you can do all the bells and whistles, and you can do everything you can do to make it better. And sure, you can improvement, you can help marginally, and you can help some different percentages. But at the end of the day, what's it about? It's about freaking winning. And that's all. If a team's not winning, it's not an event. If a team's winning a lot, then you get a few more people in. If a team's really freaking winning, then it's an event. Bottom line, that's it. There is no second.
There's no question about that.
What makes good marketers? Winning programs. Done. Exciting teams are kind of fun for a year.
Sure.
But how do you take that and move it? Up right now. I don't.
I mean, so a year ago, Vaught Hemingway capped out at, what was it, 16 and a half? Is that about right? 17?
20-something was like the max they could have, and I think they never actually hit whatever that number was. It was okay. Like 21, 22.
So let's call
like
it 20 yeah, for an even
fine.
Number.
Yeah, that's fine.
And let's call attendance 60, even though I know it's more than that maximum, okay? It's 40,000 people that you could have gotten to your stadium that you didn't all year long. Well, those people watched the games. How do you get a large percentage of those people to come back? They saved money. They put money in their pockets. They found different ways to enjoy the games. They found other things to do on their football weekends. Developed other routines. How do you get that to happen? That's why they do. No way in the world, in my opinion, like this whole what if this variant or this variant. I don't see the leagues and the schools going, we really need to limit attendance here. I think that's a dangerous economic route to go down. Unless you think the TV money will overcome the loss of money at the gate. And if you can't sell out your stadium, you decentivize season ticket holders. Because one of the incentives of season tickets is, hey, you guys want to get tickets to that Alabama game? You want to get tickets to the game when Texas comes to town or whatever, Notre Dame's coming to town? You better buy season tickets. I mean, it's one of the reasons.
Yeah, sure, Arkansas.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons that, schools book games way down the line. Almost as a reminder to fans of, hey, I know it seems like a long way away, but in 6 years when Notre Dame comes to fill in the blank, you're going to want to go to that game. And if you give up your tickets now, you might not be high enough priority by then to get them.
Wayback Rebs actually got a pretty good point in the streams. It's some said a lot missed that didn't buy 19 as well during that poor year there as they closed up. So then once you missed 20, that was 2 years. So a decent percentage because 19 tickets were down.
Oh, it's a good
20
point.
Goes what it did.
Sure.
So you are dealing with trying to do that third year.
Yeah.
And Ole Miss has done a ton. I mean, they've called people they never called before here in the last month or so just trying to get tickets up. I haven't heard an update. I'll try to work on that in the next 24 hours or so, see where it's at. But I know for Atlanta it was down, although the secondary market makes it so complicated to figure out how many tickets are actually sold for these openers. But going through the systems for the schools, the numbers were below what was anticipated.
Yeah, you can get on StubHub or Ticketmaster or whatever and get thoroughly confused.
Yeah. So
you can get screwed is what you can get.
So the number of tickets the school sells is not indicative whatsoever of how much red and blue is in the stadium in Atlanta
for
that game. Yeah, no, that's nothing.
But when you go into the stadium, like when Tulane comes here, I don't know the date on that. I think it's September the 18th.
The third week.
Yeah. When you go into the stadium on that day and the crowd's not what you thought it would be, well, you obviously know that you haven't been able to get all of those people back.
Speaking of big screens, Ginger said they bought one of those inflatable screens and watched games in the cul-de-sac with neighbors. Did it for the NCAA tournament, too. That's an option as well. You turn it into a block party, get the cul-de-sac.
Sure.
Neil's really excited. I mean, I know people getting surrounded for the night for 3 or 4 hours to watch the game is really what cranks his tractor. But I mean
all of my neighbors and I get along great. We it's awesome. I mean, we have no problems.
At some point, the guy will sell his house, okay? Like, at some point, he will sell the house.
I still maintain Carson did a favor. He's asking way too much, and he's not.
So he got to reevaluate the next set of flyers.
Yeah. I will say yesterday when I went running and I passed by his house and the box was empty again, I did kind of laugh.
I wasn't empty
yet. It was empty again.
Maybe so many people came through to get the flyers that he had a run on the mass marketing that he was doing.
It could be. And hey, Chet makes a good point. In the deep South in September, it's hot as hell in the stadium.
No, it sucks.
And so you're figuring out how do you get people to come to games, and it's hard.
People look at me like I have 8 heads, and like this is not good for my clientele that I'm preaching to right now. But if I sold insurance or whatever else, I would have baseball tickets and basketball tickets. And I don't think I would ever go to a football game. I might go to like one if you really tried to drag me for a reason.
Yeah, sure.
But I'd have dugout club tickets or something at baseball. I would have some semblance of a really good ticket at basketball. And football, I'd watch it on TV unless I had a damn good reason to show up at the game.
At which point, once a year, you could hop on StubHub.
Yeah. I'll spend the little extra cash and get the good seat for the football game and go, okay, yeah I'm curious about Lane against Alabama today. We'll go to the game.
And I think that's something that Sankey's going to be asked about. How do you envision this in the future? You know, we talked about Keith Carter, and there's some of the stories that have come out about they're going to redo the facilities at some point soon. And one of the things that's, you know, down the list, but what do you do with the west side? I don't think you feel like you've got to replace every seat. I mean, the truth is what you really want is you want to make it a lot of premium seats with lots of amenities and lots of tools and big concourses. And that's what you want. It's what people want. That's what young people want because they've kind of gotten used to that. I mean, Vaught Hemingway, I wrote this in the mailbag today. That side, I've never attended a game on that side of Vaught Hemingway. I guess maybe I have a long time ago.
On which side? The other side?
Yeah, the side across from us. What's that, the west side?
Yeah, it's the west side.
I'm bad with east, south, northwest.
South end zone, north end.
Yeah, so west side. I mean, you can tell that part of the stadium was built back in a time when you weren't thinking about amenities. I think that's fair, isn't it? I mean, you see that state is all over the place. They've got that at Jordan-Hare, for example. It's an outdated stadium. Sanford Stadium in Georgia is an outdated stadium from a modern amenities standpoint.
You need more club areas than this, but is it North Carolina that has the stadium seats in both sides of the grandstand? Am I right here?
I don't know that.
I want to say North Carolina. Maybe I'm wrong. There's a major college football stadium where baseball-like grandstand seats are the entire football stadium, which is brilliant because mm-hmm. you get your premium levels. Now, you need more premium levels in North Carolina if that's the school I'm thinking of.
Okay.
But otherwise, you're getting, hey, my seat. Because, like, it bought Hemingway, too. Like, it's not 1952. They're pretty narrow. Like, the guy that's 6'2", 210 is not sitting on his number.
So what you're saying is that asses are bigger now than they were.
I'm saying putting the asses in seats is a whole different connotation now in 2021 versus 1962. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So there's not room.
So you're saying there's a lot more ass in the stadium than there used to be.
I understand why people buy those chair backs. Like, you know, the little thing they put in your chair or whatever. Because it's not even necessarily that I want the back. It's that this is my territory.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm here.
Sure.
I'm locking down my area.
Sure.
So some of it's that. But what that does is, no, I'm just in my seat and it's whatever. And it's a little more comfortable for the fan that's not in the premium areas. It's great. So, yeah, I think that's, in a perfect world, something like that's what you want to do. But that's expensive. That's incredibly expensive. I mean, it makes very little sense from the standpoint of trying to do it at this point. So,
I mean, Grind's talking about Neyland Stadium in Knoxville, which, you know, what's it, 110,000? Something like that?
Yeah, ish. Sure.
So there's no demand for all of the supply. It's incredibly outdated. We were up there a couple of years ago. Carson was going to a soccer camp someplace out in the middle of East Tennessee nowhere, and we stopped in Knoxville the night before. I dropped him off, and that stadium, it's huge, but it's really outdated. So if you're a Tennessee fan and you live in Nashville, are you really driving to Knoxville 7 times a year?
No.
Not if the UT game's on TV.
So
those people haven't gone for years. How do you get them back? I think the answer is you don't.
So I was right here. I'm reading from the Kenan Memorial Stadium Wikipedia page. 2011 renovation and expansion fully enclosed the stadium for the first time in history. Blah, blah, blah. Bringing total stadium capacity to 63,000.
Chapel Hill?
Yeah, this is Chapel Hill. But in 2018, the metal bleachers that had been in place for almost half a century were replaced with individual seats, reducing capacity to 50,500. The stadium switched the playing surface from natural grass to synthetic grass, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
So they took out Ole Miss's metal bleachers, put in essentially Swayze Field-type seats throughout the entire stadium, and reduced the capacity from 63 to 50,500. Makes sense.
Sure.
Completely get it.
Sure.
I'd like to see a price on that. I don't see one here, but
you do wonder what it would cost.
Can it be that expensive? You're just replacing seats. I mean, I know it's not cheap, but you're not breaking down infrastructure.
No. So the question you would have if you were back to Ole Miss for a minute.
Because Ole Miss is what,
62,000-ish?
I thought that last renovation pushed it up a little higher than that. But
call it 64.
Well, yeah, whatever.
I mean,
so my point being, it would be about the same as here. It would drop the attendance down to, I don't know, 51, 52,000. Let's call it that for the heck of it. Something like that.
Yeah. So the question you would have is that worth doing, or are you better off just biting off the whole enchilada? And
that's expensive.
Tearing that side
down. I know you're still a rector setting it, but, man, I just don't know how.
I don't know. I know nothing. And right now the cost of construction is so expensive.
Well, see, that's the part where right now it makes it a non-starter.
But who knows what it's going to be in 6 years or
five
years. It could be that
higher.
It could, at which point you can't do it.
But you're not coming off a pandemic where you're – SEC did throw a little cash at you, though.
They did. But you've already borrowed from it once. I mean, that was borrowed cash. It wasn't a gift. It was
Peter and Paul and the whole deal.
Yeah.
Get a little money out of escrow, 2022.
You do get that.
That's earmarked or something.
You do get that. Yeah, that's
already gone.
A lot of that's going to Matt Luke.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. It's it is what it is. But I think that's.
I wonder how many nights Keith Carter wakes up in the middle of the night, counting tens of millions of dollars, trying to figure it out,
trying to find out where it is,
how you would do it.
Yeah.
How would you? Because if you're going to do it, I mean, there's an argument. I mean, if I'm hand-raised guy in the room, right?
But we're talking, I mean, I don't know. I could be off by hundreds of thousands of dollars. But you're talking about like $700,000-$800,000 minimum?
To do what? What
to
you're
build
talking
a new
about?
Stadium.
$700,000?
I mean, millions. Sorry.
Oh, I was
going
to say. Because if it's just $700,000, you ain't do it tomorrow.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's close to $1 billion.
I don't think you could build a whole stadium. Someone said you could do the whole west side over there, 230.
But we're still a rector setting it.
Sure,
you're never fixing the problem.
Oh, I don't think building a new stadium, like going Baylor on I don't think that's an option. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I emphasize the word think.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd ask Keith that. Is that even something that you even
is it even in the
when you're just in the meeting and you're having the brainstorm meeting with all the people? Do you even say, hey, what if? What would that look like? Where would we build it? You'd have to build it on a different spot on campus because you'd have to keep the one up that you have to play in.
Because, frankly, they have a hard time growing grass right there where that current stadium is.
Well, that would be the least of your problems, but yeah. Yeah, sure.
But if you're going to build a whole new stadium, let's fix the grass problem while we're doing it.
Sure.
I mean, that is the surface we're playing
sure,
on.
Sure.
That's more important than premium seating.
Yeah, sure. No, but I mean, you'd have to do – so, $1 billion. Can you imagine? Hey, okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to start the fundraising for $1 billion.
Okay. I mean,
if you're going around the room, you at least have that part of the conversation, right? Where you at least talk about it? So Adam Gardner says Boone Pickens Stadium, Oklahoma State, that should be the model. But what would that cost? If you were to build Boone Pickens Stadium and just replace black and orange with red and blue, and everything else is exactly the same, what would that cost? Because that's what, 47,000 seats, something like that?
Is that small?
I don't know. It doesn't look big. It looks very nice. Every seat's nice. Every seat has a great view. Shane says Baylor's stadium should be the model.
55,509.
Okay, so it's 55,000. What would it cost to build that in Oxford, Mississippi? That exact stadium, you just replace the black with the blue and the orange with the red. And name it something different. But otherwise, it's identical. It's a twin. What would that cost? I'm guessing $1 billion?
I don't know.
I just don't know how you do that now. Chet says you could do it for $450 million. I'm not saying Chet's wrong, because he might very well have a lot more locked in on construction of stadiums right now, but that sounds really low. And even if it's $450 million, Could you do that? I mean, let's say Chet's number's right, $450 million. And I, for the record, am not arguing with Chet. I would bet if we were playing The Price is Right, I would bet that he was really low. My bid would be higher than that.
Multiple times I've heard Ole Miss could go into the 354 range for capital campaigns in general. What doesn't look stupid as you're trying to build through numbers? So, I mean, if everything's earmarked in one place, and that is the number, then sure. I mean, look, a goal is for all the crap to match, though. So at some point, the only way to do that is to put a crazy amount of money into the current structure or build from the ground up. And again, maybe you're not doing it all at one time.
Well,
maybe
the thing that would be the most appealing is to build from the ground up, just start over.
But they can't afford that.
But that's what we're talking about. And so if you can't do that, or if you throw $80 million into the stadium, are you throwing bad on bad? Are you wasting $80? I mean, Ole Miss played around with Tad Smith for a long time, and it never got better.
Look, the only logical thing to do is, yeah, figure out what you want the eventual plan to look like over 20 years and just start fixing a side at a time and go, look, it's going to look stupid for a little while. But that's it.
You're right, but now you're taking the old house and you're doing
Where are you getting $1 billion? Because you don't get to build the new stadium and just build one side at a time. You don't get to go, hey, you know what?
What are your friends' names at Laurel? That's
Ben and Aaron Napier.
We can call them.
Hometown.
Yeah.
We need a stadium.
Need you to fix up Vaughn Hemingway. And here's your budget.
Good luck. But my point is, you can't build a new stadium and go, well, this year, here's the debut in the new stadium. Here's the east side. West side's still a gravel parking lot, but we'll get to that later. I mean, like,
I'm with Chet on this, though. I mean, he says $80 million would be hodgepodge, and I agree completely. We disagree on $450 million, and I don't know why. But if you throw $80 million at it, I think you're burning the money. 10 years later, you're going to have the same problem.
There's nowhere to put the new stadium.
You could find a place to put the stadium. Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
They're not making more land. Where are we putting it?
What about Tad Smith, where it is right now?
There's all that room area for a freaking football stadium right there.
Let you get rid of a cemetery at the same time. See, we're killing all sorts of birds with that one stone.
Yeah.
Ginger says Aaron would put some lovely porch swings on the stadium. She would. In 2009, okay.
Can you put it back across the road where the new Turner Center place is over there? Whatever the rec facility is?
I don't see why not. Got a big parking lot there, the whole deal. Grind says in 2009, Oklahoma State spent $285 million on Boone Pickens. So 12, 13 years later.
Yeah, sure.
Chet might be closer to right than I think. Baylor spent $266. So let's call it $500 million.
That's more than I thought.
Let's call it.
I mean, that's less than I thought. I didn't realize you could even get close.
Of course, the price of goods are extremely high right now. So let's call it $500 million. If you could do it, wouldn't you be better off trying to come up with something monumental like that as opposed to just throwing tens of millions into it?
That's the number, sure.
But that's the number, 500 million.
Because there's a hell of a difference in, I mean, maybe you even do some, you know, there's stuff.
Because if you're Ole Miss, you don't need a seat over 55,000.
No.
Not really. You really don't.
No, you want hard tickets.
You want there to be demand for your tickets so that you can sell them. And you're selling more expensive seats. You're selling the whole deal. So you can make up that difference in losing the 9,000 seats or whatnot. Way back, Rev says, let coaches from other schools start telling recruits that the stadium is on a Confederate cemetery. That'll go well. Hey, man, I was just trying to
think. There's We Are Ole Miss stuff going on now.
I was just trying to solve problems.
Yeah, that's not your issue. That's not.
I could say, hey, it used to be a Confederate cemetery. Not anymore.
Well, it still is.
Well, you'd move them.
federal property.
Hey, man, the feds change the rules all the time.
Where are you putting them?
In another cemetery.
Somewhere in Vicksburg?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Shiloh? I don't know. There's Confederate battlegrounds all over the place.
Well, you don't put them in battlegrounds.
Well, but they got cemeteries, right?
I guess they all have some semblance. I don't know.
There's people buried in Vicksburg.
Well, yeah, I knew that.
So there
one.
You go.
I knew that was.
I mean, how many people were talking about? I don't know. I'm asking.
And didn't they already move all the Northern troops?
I don't know.
I knew that answer when I wrote that stupid long Facebook, I mean, message board post like months ago about the cemetery and all that was going on.
Did all that happen?
I knew way too much
when
about
did that happen? Was that last summer? That was last summer.
Was that seriously last summer?
I think was it was. Because the players didn't want, they didn't want to, they didn't want to see it.
That's right. They built the little thing.
That was last summer. I mean, it's been a year.
Oh my God.
How about that?
When I learned way more than I cared about that cemetery over like 3 or 4 hours. Just stumbling upon crap accidentally.
And yeah.
I guess I was spending my Saturday.
You did that whole day talking to people because you kept calling me and I was...
You didn't really care.
Well, I just said at one point, I was like, okay.
I got... I mean, I talked to Ann Twitty for like an hour and a half.
I know. I remember that. Because you thought that would go badly and it actually didn't.
It was kind of pleasant. Yeah, I kind of enjoyed the conversation.
Y'all ended up buddies.
Yeah, no. It was good. So, anyway, we've flown right past, so leave something out for later to record because
right.
I don't have the ability. Unless you're going like double one or the other, just be aware of that either way.
I can shorten and double. Okay. That's not a problem.
All right. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. They're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704. Or JLOWAE at communitymtg.com.
Also brought to you by ACS, Automation and Control Systems, LLC, Clay McNutt, and the guys in Baldwin, Mississippi. They've been there since 2013. It's a complete electrical control systems solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. If you're in need of custom HMI and SCADA solutions or large horsepower VFD specialists, they've got you covered. ACS, LLC, MS.com or 662-601-4381. Don't forget, Oxford Park Commission has a lot of things going on you can sign up for right now. Youth flag football, $50 a player, ages 6 to 14. They'll play in the fall, so we'll fall baseball, 6 to 15 of the ages for that, September 15th through October the 20th, which is the same time that they're going to have a fall softball league at OPC for the first time. Girls, ages 5 to 12, oxfordparkcommission.com for more details. Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson, Mississippi. They service the entire state in all commercial asset classes, such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam Cox and B.B. Mitchell are Ole Miss grads, and they utilize their unique skill sets to execute on assignments and increase value for their clients. To learn more about all the things they do, get in touch with them at 601-586-3220. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they're uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Don't forget now you can go online at BlueDeltaJeans.com. You can get measured and design your newest jeans in just a couple of minutes. It's promo code REBELGROVE for 10% off your purchase. That's one word, all lowercase, REBELGROVE. Now's a great time to get a pair of Blue Delta's cotton chinos, so don't miss out. We're also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry. Lamons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. It's been serving the Oxford area for three quarters of a century, I should say. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, and more. Lamons is the gold standard in fine jewelry. It's lamonsfinejewelry.com or 662-234-2777. If your air conditioner's acting funny, you know it's going to get only hotter between now and the end of the summer, so get in touch with the people at Comer. Comer Heating and Air, professional HVAC experience in Oxford and Tupelo, the surrounding area for more than 50 years, 662-801-1777. And we're brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area. You can also go to collegecornerstore.com, and you can find them on Facebook and Instagram.
All right, guys, so it's brought to you by Visit Oxford. MS.com is the website. Go to the events page and see what all's going on locally this week and every week as well. Some different events happening as well. I'm all tongue-tied today. I've been trying to drink water and it's still not working very well. Growler this Friday, 6 to 9 for the Micro Brew and View with Lee Harper there on the square. Also, the End of All Music Record Store Day is Saturday, July 17th. Sunday kicks off the Faulkner Conference. That is a virtual conference. Find out more about that at visit OxfordMS.com. And then on Friday, July 30th, still a couple weeks away, the OPC Movies at the Park, Shrek Event Park, 8 o'clock for that. So again, visit OxfordMS.com/events. No, look, if that's anywhere close to the price, all that makes that does make sense. Then if you have land, I mean, all jokes aside, have somewhere to put the thing.
Yeah, sure.
To go that route. But I don't think that's the route. I think the route was to slowly and strategically replace sides until they all look congruent.
Okay.
But that's a long process, potentially. Or at least not a short
one. I think there's a real... I think a lot of the people in the chat agree with me. It's a real possibility that you get through doing that and you look up and have you really made it better? Have you really fixed it?
Instead of just modernizing and... Well, because look.
I mean, I realize someone goes, hey, look, you go find $600 million. Yeah. And that's fair. But it is worth asking, and I would be the one in the room that says, okay, when we get through spending $85 million on this west side, how's it going to be different? And can that be done in one off season? Do I lose a year's worth of revenue while they're building over there? How does that work?
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't have an answer to that.
You break ground at late November, and it's rainy and cold, and construction's expensive, and you know, spring here can be really wet, and you look up and you didn't get it done.
But here's the payoff, and here's what you are balancing eventually when this thing is done. And we have great examples of both these on campus.
Okay.
The Pavilion, they didn't take Tad Smith and go, you know what, let's modernize the spaceship.
They did for a long time.
Yeah, they did. But when you finally fixed it, now I don't know how you would have, I mean, the asbestos only goes away to some extent.
The best story remains, not to interrupt you, but the best story remains Andy Kennedy telling David Brandt, David, come out here. And David thinks he's about to get yelled at midcourt over something he wrote or whatever, which really
was. It was probably pre LSU when Brandt did bite him a little bit on the thing.
Yeah.
He
goes, look up there. See that blue dot? And David's like, yeah? David has no idea what he's about to say. And he goes, that's the sky. They got rained out. Basketball game got rained out.
Well, he would deadpan better than any human because he'd start the interview or whatever, and like right in the middle of the question, he'd go, and go like, asbestos. I mean, the water fountains were still there until they cut it down. But
I can remember walking around, and he goes, hey, you seen any squirrels? I'm like, what are you talking about? In the building, you seen any squirrels?
The only other place that ever gave me the same kind of feeling was that basement at Beard Eve's.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of creepy and like, okay, what are we doing here in this thing?
Because when I covered Auburn, they played in Beard Eve's, and the media room was a classroom up on like third floor.
Really?
It was a classroom. Yeah.
So my point being, the Pavilion, obviously incredibly nice, one of the top three basketball facilities from a premium standpoint, all that whatever. In the country, because they did just start over, they got it done, they built it, and it's awesome. At baseball, Swayze Field, one of the top five stadiums in the country, but there are things that aren't modernized. There are things that aren't available there compared to Duty Noble or compared to whatever they're calling Florida Field now. I don't know if it's still McKeithen Stadium or not, but whatever. You know, you're not ever going to get 360 views at Swayze Field. The concourses are going to be 1980s, early 90s concourses where you don't have the different things to do. They've done all they can do, and it's great, but it's not ever going to be your modern type of facility. So what does that matter? What does that mean?
Yeah.
at some point you want to be in whatever that realm is. It's why, I mean, hell, it's why Atlanta, the Braves, are on their third stadium since 1993.
Yeah.
Turner Field was not bad, but it wasn't this modern.
But it wasn't built to be a modern baseball stadium either, yeah. And very quickly it was outdated.
Yeah, I mean, Camden Yards is no longer this, which is awesome, but like is well, no longer
we were walking
this
around Great America Ballpark in Cincinnati, and you know Carson was raving about the concourses and all that stuff, and they probably look around at some of the new parks and go, God, I'd love to do what they do. And then you think about like Wrigley. And I know Wrigley's a historic monument and all that stuff, and the Cubs have done a lot with Wrigley, but the concourse area of Wrigley's awful. It's awful.
Well, and I mean, there are places that that's just, they're never going to get rid of them, and they're charming, and they are what they are. I mean, you know, but I mean, we say that, but I mean, Yankee Stadium's no longer Yankee Stadium. I mean,
couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah. I guess Fenway's still its facility.
Fixed up. It a lot.
But again, they have nowhere to put it.
Right.
And you're not moving it out of Ballpark.
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
That thing's not going to Foxborough like the Patriots.
No, if the Cubs were to decide that they just couldn't play at Wrigley anymore, I don't know. You'd have to build a stadium in a completely different part of town. You wouldn't build it out in the north burbs out there. I don't know where you'd put it. I mean, the joke was that they'd put it out at Rosemont, out near O'Hare, which would have all the charm of – I'm not sure what. A parking lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know of anything going on at Swayze, frankly, that they really can do for the most part. They could do some things to kind of make those outfield terraces better on both sides. There are ways to improve those. They've got all the creature comforts for players accomplished now. They've got one of the top three or four player facilities in the country.
And in college baseball, that might be all that really matters.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been to a game at Baum as a fan. I've been as a
I've sat in the stands
working
for games,
press
to some extent.
But I don't know like what their concourse area is like. I know they built so
yeah, they
built,
go down instead of up,
yeah.
Which helps because you can be at the concourses and you walk down to your seats. You don't come up
okay.
And then go back up.
Right.
So you're in the concourse, all the seats are out in front of you, and you just funnel down into your seats.
So they built that big area out off right field, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And a lot of that was player creature comfort stuff, I think. I'm not sure. I don't know. If you're college baseball, I think you have to be careful how much money you sink into a college baseball facility because you can't make the profit. In football, though, that's where you're different. You can sit and have a conversation about, hey, if we do this right and we put a winning product on the field, this pays for itself over time. It's the only sport where really you can say that, right? I mean, I don't know that if you're sitting in a room and even at a place like Ole Miss where the fans are rabid about baseball, I don't know that you can say, hey, let's just spend whatever we have to on on baseball and just, hey, let the chips fall. That's hard to justify. But you can treat football differently because football can produce tremendous revenues and will.
At some point, football is going to have to be modernized. I don't know when that some point is. I don't know what that means. But they've spent a lot of time over a long period of time to just kind of erector it up.
Yeah. It's kind of my point. So you're going to do it again?
I haven't seen the release on this, but I will. Actually, just came in. Matt Corral and Jalen Jones are the participants for Media Day for Ole Miss.
Oh, isn't that funny? That's not who I would have guessed.
No, I wouldn't either. I thought Sanogo was a lock with Corral, and then they'd go from there. So, we'll see. Alabama sending Fedarian Mathis and John Michi III, defensive lineman and wide receiver. Arkansas sending an lineman and a linebacker. Bo Nix going along with a linebacker at Auburn. Florida sending a defensive lineman and a linebacker. Georgia sending JT Daniels and Jordan Davis, a defensive lineman.
Yep.
Kentucky sending an offensive tackle and a defensive end. LSU sending an offensive tackle along with Derek Stingley Jr., the DB. Corral and Jalen Jones. Jalen Jones, obviously, the senior defensive backs. defensive back. Mississippi State going with Aaron Brule, a linebacker, and Austin Williams, a wide receiver. Missouri going with a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman.
Oh, that'll be.
Oh, I mean, speaking of asses in seats, right? Yeah. There for Missouri, that gets it done. South Carolina going with Nick Muse, a tight end, and Kingsley something, a defensive end.
Sure.
Tennessee going with Velus Jones, a junior wide receiver. Velus Jones Jr., a senior wide receiver.
Okay.
And Alante Taylor, a DB. He also a senior. Texas A&M sending an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman, and Vanderbilt sending an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. Who is picking these freaking players?
A lot of love for linemen, though, this year.
But you're having media day, and
how many quarterbacks?
That's
Corral and Daniels.
Three.
Is that it?
Three.
And Nix.
Yeah, three. Three quarterbacks?
Who's Alabama bringing? Why not bring Bryce Young?
Darian Mathis.
Okay.
And John Mechie the third.
I get Mechie.
Bring your quarterback.
Bring Bryce.
He'll figure it out. He'll be all right.
I mean, come on.
The dude from the Chattanooga paper that likes the buffet is not going to scare him off. It's going to be all right for the
Bryce
day.
Young's a five-star player who's been doing interviews
We got to protect him. He hasn't talked to the media, so we have to make sure we...
Since he got out of Huggies, he's been doing interviews. I think he'll be able to handle it. It's like if I'm Ole Miss, I bring Matt and Jerry on.
They talk.
I'll just bring the two guys people want to talk to. Nothing against Jalen Jones, who's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Jalen a lot. And he's a great story. But I don't know that he's the national story.
Well, he's not a national story.
Jerrion is.
They're doing this seniority thing mostly, right? Coaches are going, hey, you earned...
You earn the right to go through this circus.
Yeah, you earn the right to go get dressed up. And
only three quarterbacks. That's crazy.
Matt, most of the time, has gone really, like, well-dressed and polished. Do you expect anything crazy, or you expect pretty business attire, normal suit for Mr. Corral?
I don't know. He'll probably dress pretty sharply.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list. I mean, I guess, is there an obvious quarterback that we're missing that's not? I mean, I guess that's the only other question of this. But Missouri, your dude was good last year. Send him, whatever his name is.
Yeah, the Bazelak. Now, yeah. I'm told that he is as boring as is humanly possible. I'm told he is a very dry, boring.
Yeah, because Case Cook is somebody we're all really aware of and excited about coming to Hoover next week.
That's a good point. It's fair.
And your coach is already the dork in the room. Like, yeah. Whatever. Just bring the quarterback.
Yeah. Sure.
Because he's going to make at least three jokes that are stupid while he's at the podium. Drinkwitz.
What day do they go?
I don't
know. Ole Miss goes Tuesday.
You want them to go the same day?
Well, it would be fun because I think he would try to.
You think he'd goad Kiffin?
He'd try.
I still can't understand what he's doing.
Alabama goes Wednesday, I think. I think Lane's the headliner on Tuesday.
Is he? I'm pulling it up.
It's him and I think he and Kirby are on the same day.
Yeah, there's four that day. First day, Dan Mullen, Ed Orgeron, Shane Beamer.
Okay.
Mullen's fine. He's always somewhat entertaining.
Mullen's actually pretty good in that setting. Orgeron's not going to like some of the tough questions.
And he's not good in that
setting.
Nobody
cares about Beamer.
I mean, Beamer is a complete and utter non-factor.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Kirby Smart, Mark Stoops, Lane Kiffin, and Josh Heupel.
That's a pretty good day.
That's a good day.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there.
A lot to get to there.
Yeah. Saban, Leach, Jimbo, and Clark Lee. It would have taken me at least 90 seconds to remember the Vanderbilt head coach's name. I remember now he's Notre Dame defensive coordinator, but whatever. And then on day four, Pittman, Harsin, Drinkwitz. So Drinkwitz is the very last. Drinkwitz is at the end. Everybody's out of town. Yeah. That's getaway day.
Yeah.
Especially media
days.
It
is. I mean, it clears out.
Yeah.
Pittman, Harsin, and so they're bringing in Auburn on the last day just to keep some people there.
Oh, you think? Cause...
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You think that helps?
Oh, yeah. Let that be Vanderbilt instead of Auburn, and everybody's out. No one's even there.
Yeah. We'll have to welcome to the podium Clark Lee, ladies and gentlemen. All right, cool.
Crickets.
Yeah. Who was the Vanderbilt coach a few years ago? It was like the interim, whatever. He goes, yeah, I'm just going to enjoy my 1 year here. No, and he had no shot the next year to be back. Whatever that dude's was.
I don't remember that.
Oh, God.
It will be interesting because we didn't get that last year. Like, what is Kiffin like at the podium? Normally, he's pretty reserved in settings like that. Like, what's Leach like at that setting?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Does Drinkwitz try to be funny? Because the coaches that try to be someone they're not, they bomb.
It doesn't work.
No. It's why the ones that are pretty – like, Dan Mullen's Dan Mullen at the podium, and he's actually pretty good.
I was going to ask you this a minute ago. You mentioned expansion. If they could do it over again, would the SEC invite Missouri again? A&M's been a resounding yes.
Yeah, A&M's been big.
It's no.
Probably no.
They haven't fit.
But you need to get somebody.
No, sure. But they
so you
fit.
Think they would have gone east and gotten like Virginia Tech? NC State?
NC State would have come without anybody else in North Carolina?
Supposedly. Depends on who you talk to.
And they're kind of boring too, but
yeah.
They fit the profile a little better.
It would have expanded the footprint.
Would Oklahoma State have bailed on Oklahoma?
The question is, would Oklahoma have bailed
well,
on Oklahoma
so,
State?
Well, if so, it's a non-starter. We'd have grabbed Oklahoma and you call it a day.
Sure.
But assuming Oklahoma said, no, we're going to hang with Texas.
You don't go get Oklahoma State.
That's what I'm asking.
No.
You'd rather have the Raleigh-Durham area and go.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Go east.
Yeah. If you're going to, I mean, not, I like the state of Oklahoma, fine. But if you're going to expand your footprint into Oklahoma, you're not doing it for Oklahoma State. You're doing it for the Sooners. I can sell that.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Hey, Oklahoma-Alabama Saturday night.
We're in.
Here we go. ESPN goes in. But, you know, Oklahoma State, Mississippi State, ESPN says, nah, I don't.
I'm good.
Nah, we're fine. Yeah. Oklahoma State, Vanderbilt. No.
Yeah, okay.
But Oklahoma, Vanderbilt. Hell, it's Oklahoma. There are people watching. I mean, they're one of.
That is a good point. It's one they're of the things where you just go, sure.
Yeah, sure. They're one of six or seven teams in the country that when they're on, you go, okay. Well,
yeah, the SEC gets a 4-week stretch where it's Oklahoma, LSU, A&M, Florida, Alabama,
sure.
Whatever. And you go,
locked.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Missouri would be a no. I don't think they'd do it again. Because you can't convince me you've gotten the push in any business way out of that St. Louis, KC area.
Mm-mm.
Because Missouri doesn't really register there. It's a pro sports town.
The question is, if they could go back even further, would they still add Arkansas and South Carolina? And I think so.
Yeah. Because they were more, at that point, they were so much more worried about being geographic with it.
Yeah.
Because it's almost kind of like, hey, are we giving them today's context or not? Well, that changes things. But if not, because, yeah, if you're not, you go grab A&M then.
Sure.
Convince them.
I mean, A&M is a big-time win for the league. That was smart.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was. Yeah. And it got criticized at the time. A lot of people were like, why would you want A&M when you can't get Texas?
I'll take A&M.
Yeah. I mean, I still think ideally, it's just me talking. Ideally, you go get Texas and OU and
call it a day
and own this thing. I think Texas A&M would balk at Texas.
Move Auburn to the east?
Yeah. Sure.
Along with somebody else?
Yeah. I mean, I think at that point you go ahead and redo the whole thing and put Missouri in the west where it belongs.
Right. Sorry.
Because they're not leaving. I laugh at the people that are like, you know, Arkansas would like to go back to the Big 12. Like, no, they wouldn't.
No.
Who would sit in the room in Fayetteville, hand raised guy, and go, hey, does money not matter anymore? Oh, it still matters? Then we're not doing this.
What was it, the dude from The Athletic that tried to give that story that day?
Yeah.
He wrote a big long, and like I understood his point. Like I got it. Like I understood.
And there are fans in their fan base who feel that way.
That said, if we go to the Big 12, we're more competitive. It does this. We can win a little more.
But maybe you would have no money.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're not a football power at Arkansas, and I don't know that you can be one. But they're a power in a lot of other things, and they get tons of exposure and all of that stuff. And you make money, lots and lots and lots of money.
Yeah, the check comes every time.
A check that does not come if you're in the Big 12.
Yeah, I know.
And so how that gets lost in the translation is kind of beyond me.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, S-P-A-R-C. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clarkport studio. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband, nespark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service is available as well as printer controls, network security, and more. So again, call them, see if they're in your area, and if so, take advantage of it, 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by Pinnacle, based in Madison, Mississippi. They've got clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. It's pintrust.com, P-I-N-N-trust.com. If you're looking to travel here in the latter part of the summer, you're already planning something for the holidays, get in touch with John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Just give him some parameters and a budget. He'll give you options, 901-494-3387 or jedwards@regencytravel.net. Brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. I've got a mailbag up on the site. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo, condos, land, commercial, residential, family homes, 662-567-2573, 662-842-3844. Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, located at 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. It's your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. It's the premium trailer dealership in Mississippi. Got all sorts of things available to you there. Get in touch with them at 601-932-9798 or check them out at alphaofms.com. And we're brought to you by The Rogue. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. They're also the sponsor of the segment that I introduced on rebelgrove.com last night. We're going to be visiting, starting in August, once a week with Chance Campbell, the linebacker from Ole Miss, the Maryland grad transfer. We've reached an NLI agreement with him.
Still, NIL.
What did I say? NLI?
Yeah.
Oh, NIL.
He does not sign a national letter of intent with us.
He did not. No. No. He signed one of those with Maryland, but not with us.
Yeah.
Not with us. He signed an NIL.
You think he likes the weird Maryland helmet with like the flag on one side?
We'll find out.
Can we ask?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, Maryland has some weird uniforms. They got some.
Yeah. We'll talk about uniforms. We'll talk about his Maryland days.
The difference between a turtle and a terrapin.
That's a thought.
Okay.
Sure.
I got Maryland questions.
You need to write these down. So that'll be brought to you by The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson, or therogue.com.
Just go to the pod system. Get 16 teams and go to 414 pods.
I mean, okay.
9 games. You play.
So you'd have
you play your pod and another pod every year.
So you'd add playoff game, though. You'd have 2 semifinals.
We'll figure it out. I don't know. Just give me a minute. 9 SEC games.
Okay.
You play the 3 teams in your pod every year.
Okay.
Then you rotate another full pod.
Okay.
So you get whatever. And then you play 1 team from the other 2 pods.
9 Okay. Games. That'd be 9 games. You're right.
Done.
It's brilliant.
It also gets you playing teams quicker because it takes too long to get.
Like Ole Miss won't play South Carolina at home again for another
14 seasons or 13 seasons or whatever it is.
Gonna be a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Shane Beamer won't be there.
You never know. He might. Hey. You have no thought that he's gonna blow up and be a successful coach at South Carolina.
Zero.
I mean. Drinkwitz at Missouri over under the next 3 years. Does he have a 4-year tenure?
Yeah, over.
Before he gets a bigger job?
Yeah.
So he finishes second in the East at some point?
Yeah. I think he's going to be successful.
So he passes Florida or Georgia?
Passes Florida.
Really?
Yeah. Not permanently, but in 1 year and takes advantage of it? Yeah, sure.
Not like he's...
Yeah. I think he's a good coach. It's weird as hell, but he's a good coach.
There's a part of me that I wouldn't want to have to deal with, that the Ole Miss fan base having to deal with Elijah Drinkwitz as their head coach would be kind of humorous, because he would drive them batshit crazy.
Well, that would have been on the heels of them passing on Lane Kiffin.
That's my point.
It wouldn't have gone
well. You got Lane in Arkansas, and then your coach is screwing with the Arkansas coach. And you've already got the weird Arkansas Ole Miss dynamic anyway. It doesn't feel right. That's
Oh, had Lane gone to Arkansas? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Lane goes to Arkansas, Keith hires Drinkwitz.
And Lane doesn't fit Arkansas the way that he fits Ole Miss, I don't think.
Lane looks like he would get so pissed off at the pig suey stuff all around him all the time and be like, "What? Get me out of here. Hey, Jimmy."
I would think. Yeah.
But he wasn't staying in Boca. He would have taken the job.
Oh, yeah, he was going to take the job. Sure. Had Juracek not dragged his feet, they might could have gotten him before Ole Miss could have gotten to him. In some ways, as weird as that is, I mean, Kiffin and Pittman will always be sort of linked together.
Pittman, 3 years? Another three?
Yeah, I think so.
So you think he will coach the 2024 season at Arkansas?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've been saying for a while, I think their win-loss record, they're going to take a step back, but I actually think he's doing a pretty good job right now.
And they'll be fairly patient with him?
Yeah, I think so. He's recruiting better than his predecessor. A lot better than his predecessor. And he's stable. He's got a good staff. People like working for him. Sure. Got a chance. Gonna take a minute.
Sure. Team USA finally won a basketball game, beat Argentina 108-80 last night. Just FYI, since we've been talking about that for a couple of days. Popovich thinks that they're...
Turn the corner?
Yeah. No, he wouldn't go really that hard, but...
Yeah.
Thought they held their stamina for four quarters. He thought prior to that they had kind of slipped.
How'd my boy Gabriel Deck do for Argentina? You got a box?
Who?
Gabriel Deck.
Who's that?
D-E-C-K. Plays for Argentina. About 26 years old.
Good, oh, really?
Good international player.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Deck is not in my thing. I'm not going to probably find a box score. You got high hopes for him?
Not really.
Oh.
Just interesting.
But he does play.
An interesting skill set, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like a lot?
Yeah, for Argentina, I think Deck plays a lot.
Do I have a box? I have a box. All right, who you want to ask about? Deck.
Yep, Gabriel Deck.
He did play. He scored 10 points.
Okay.
He had two boards. He had one steal. He was 4 of 6 from the field. Went 2 of 2 from the line. Had two turnovers. Committed one foul.
Okay.
Was +1 in his plus or minus.
There you go. Dominant.
Better than a lot of guys because, like, Patrick Guarino up here, -27 in his plus minus. Ooh. When he's on the court.
That's not good.
Good things aren't happening. Marios Dealey, I don't know. I don't recognize a lot of NBA players for the Argentines here, though, compared to.
Do you have a starting lineup?
No, I just have a full box. Dakota Mathis played 155 for Team USA last night.
Okay.
Toward the end of the bench. Cameron Reynolds played 155. Jason Tatum didn't play last night. Wonder
maybe,
why.
Maybe he got in trouble.
Wonder what happened.
I don't know. Maybe just rest.
Okay. Durant played 24 minutes.
Durant played 24?
Yeah, the most was Bradley Beal. He played 30 minutes last night. 29-57. They're kind of struggling at the point, aren't they?
A little bit.
Anyway, I don't know. Whatever. All right. You watch any British Open? Does that get you at all? Does the wind and the rain and all that kind of make you more likely to turn it on?
Sure. Because it looks like it's brutally difficult. So I'm kind of interested in that.
Well, yeah, it's...
When I'm watching them just make shot after shot after shot, and everybody hits these beautiful shots, and it lands on the pretty little green, and it's like a little 4-foot putt, I get kind of bored, if I'm honest.
It's why golfers are some of the biggest babies in sports, is that twice a year, you get put in very uncomfortable situations. Just shut up and play.
Sure.
The British Open, the weather's going to get stupid, and things are going to happen, and it's going to be completely unfair, because a lot of times the tournament is won, depending on if you have a morning and then an afternoon, or an afternoon and then morning.
Sure.
From a forecast standpoint, it is what it is. What do you want to do about it?
I mean, I would like to watch them play in a driving monsoon.
And then at the U.S. Open, where they bake out the greens and they grow the rough up waist high and go, good luck, have at it. And every year, they've just lost the golf course. We can't play in this. Shut up.
I like watching it when they barely put the ball and it rolls 37 feet past the green. I start laughing. I mean, I do, because that feels like something I could possibly do.
Yeah.
When everybody's bombing right to the green, it's boring. It is. It is. I'm from a non-golf person, that can get boring.
So you went 152 that day?
Sure.
Is that what it was? 157, 159?
Give or take 10 strokes. I mean, who's counting that?
With Jonathan playing two holes.
Yes. On a course that I had no business playing.
Well, that was my point, though.
Yeah.
You, because of forced carries, I don't think you literally could finish like a U.S. Open course. I don't think you could literally get 18 holes in.
I'm sure I could.
With unlimited balls, like...
No.
I mean, all day long. Well, it's like, you know, Portnoy's stick of like, hey, he could win the U.S. Open if he had unlimited mulligans. So he'll go play the U.S. Open course. They'll actually let him out there to do this with unlimited mulligans.
Yeah.
And he'll get done and brag. See, I shot 200. It's like you had 437 mulligans. Like, okay.
I used to really not like Portnoy. And now
he's really grown.
And now I really love Portnoy.
Yeah, it's actually kind of comical because he'll hit a putt like another ball, and he's just like just hitting them until something gets up there or goes in or whatever.
And he bothers people so much that I like him.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
Yeah,
like he'll. I even watch his stupid little pizza reviews now.
They're watchable. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, they're whatever. Funny to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And now all the people recognize him, and it's hilarious to see how much that. For example, how much Dave Portnoy has to drive Dennis Dodd out of his mind.
Yeah.
Has to just destroy him, like, internally. Just blows him up.
For myriad reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Dennis is like, I'm at CBS Sports and nobody cares.
No, the media world's changed where it just
doesn't. Yeah, I mean, to me, Barstool's just, it's kind of a remarkable story.
Yes.
It's grown on me. I mean,
from a straight business standpoint, it is a remarkable story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at like what Ryan Brown and those guys in Birmingham are doing. I mean, I think I told you,
yeah.
I know I did in a text yesterday, they're up to sixth already in sports podcast. Mm-hmm. It's been a month. No football.
Yeah.
So. They hadn't had a football weekend yet.
Sure. Yeah. Alabama hasn't played a close game.
I mean, Alabama and Auburn hadn't played yet.
Yeah.
So. And they will.
We will be back tomorrow at some point with another edition of the show. Hopefully, turned out pretty good with no thoughts going in, no pre-production meeting, nothing. Just
the pre-production meeting was Chase walked in and I said, "What the hell are we talking about?" And he goes, "I don't know."
And that was it.
And I said, "Okay." And so
we literally did not have a sentence.
No, and so
that.
I typed up assorted stuff.
Yeah, and then we just started talking, and here's what came out. So I hope you guys enjoyed today. We'll get right on making sure that we find $600 million to build a football stadium. And we will tear down a Confederate cemetery in the process. So we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Hope you have a wonderful day.
Just going to dig it up. We're not going to tear it down. We're going to dig it up.
Enjoy your afternoon, and we'll talk to you again soon.